Be seated, please.
Amen. Today's sermon, which I pray will be short in magnitude, but deep in content, is about giving. And I've entitled our lesson this morning, Giving with God, because it originates with God. He gives to us, we give back to Him, it's all His, we belong to Him. He is a gracious, kind, and loving God, and we can always count on His character. And so giving is an opportunity to participate in God's divine nature. You and I are made in His image, and so as we carry out that image, part of that image is being generous with the things God has blessed us with. When you think about everything that is a gift, I'll share with you an example that I experienced this morning. I stopped at Whataburger and bought me a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. Think about that little item I ate this morning with me for just a moment. Sausage comes from pork. Pork comes from pig. A farmer raises a pig. Eggs comes from chicken. I guess the pig had a little more to contribute than the chicken did over here. But the eggs come from chickens. Again, chickens are cared for by farmers and harvested that way. And then we had the cheese. The cheese comes from a milk cow. Somebody had to milk that cow to get that cheese. And the biscuit comes from flour, and some farmer had to plant that seed. All of these things were created by God, the pig and the chicken and the wheat and the milk cow. All these things come from God. But somebody had to grow these things, harvest these things, sell these things. Somebody had to buy these things. These things were shipped. They were stored. When I pulled up this morning to Whataburger, I told them I wanted a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit by which they pulled it out of their storage. They made it up, and then they put it in a fancy bag, and I pay them a little bit of money that you have paid me because I'm imparted to you spiritual gifts, and you've shared with me material gifts, which God's Word talks about, and I run away satisfying a fleshly need that I had. When you think about all of this, realize that I didn't make, I John McCord, didn't make any of that. Any of it. I just received it. And that's just one thing. I didn't talk about the vehicle that I drove in or the petroleum that fired up the engine and we're all that. Again, you just think over and over again how everything that we have, you and I, breathe for just a moment and continue. It's a gift. Everything is a gift. God is a giver. He's a giver of creation. He's the giver of the new creation. He is the one who gave us one and only Son. So how are we as Christians to give? Let me give you the context for why I'm sharing this today. We're having a congregational meeting in just a moment, which we're going to talk about the financial past in 2013. We're going to talk about our plan in 2014. And I just want to remind us again, what is it that we're doing? And how are we to be doing these things? How are Christians to give? We are to make our giving a priority. A priority. There was this thing called first fruits in the Old Testament. Anytime a farmer planted a crop, he would harvest that crop and he was to present the first of the fruits of that crop to the Levites there in Jerusalem. And when he presented this gift, this is what he was to declare. This is in Deuteronomy 26:3. As he would give, he would say, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore our forefathers to, listen, to give us. You see, in giving first fruits, it reminded the giver that he was actually a receiver first from God. And therefore, he joyously gave. In Exodus chapter 13, we read about the firstborn. When God had delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, they were to give the firstborn of any of their flocks was to be sacrificed before God. And the firstborn male child of a family was to be dedicated to God. But it was to be redeemed. And that's a key word there. And you had to redeem this child by offering a lamb or some other sacrifice. And so you and your family would go before the Levite priest. And there you would make a substitutionary offering to redeem the firstborn which belonged to God. Again, reminding Israel of this basic fundamental fact that everything in life is to be received as a gift from God. And to we are to return to God the blessings that we receive, and to be mindful and cognizant of the reality that we are receivers. Receivers are to be givers. And we must never forget this. While God allowed provision for the firstborn son to be redeemed, listen to this, church family, God gave his firstborn son to redeem us. Oh, how blessed you are for the gifts that God has given you. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And you and I are heirs of God. We are his sons and his daughters. The second reason we are, as Christians, how are we to give? We are to make our giving not only a priority, but we are to be purposeful about our giving. Scripture teaches us this great principle in 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of every week, Paul says and instructs the church, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. We are to give forethought, purposeful forethought to the gifts, the offering that we bring today. It's not just a hapless reaction, but there's forethought that's given. And the Bible says we are to consecrate a sum of money. Consecrating is to set aside. It has been marked for a specific purpose. Now, we know as Christians that when we give, when we contribute, it goes to serve two purposes, the proclamation of the gospel and charity for those who have needs. And Scripture teaches us these things. Here in this text, Paul is talking about pulling up a collection for charity only. And this money was collected by the Corinthian church and it was sent to the poor Christians there in Jerusalem. But the principle of consecrating a sum stands for us and is applicable to us today. All right, number three. Well, I was going to share with you also, again, the proclamation of the word. The Bible says anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. And so I was going to remind D-Ray that I needed to borrow his 22-foot bay boat this week. I'm being a little facetious. But not too much. Okay. No, I'm kidding. How are Christians to give? Number three, our giving is to be proportional to our income. Again, I want to go back to this same text. That we are to give in keeping with his income or in keeping with our income. In other words, if you make more, God calls us to give more. If you make less, God calls you to give less. But we are to give in keeping with our income. So we don't go judging one another about who gives more, and those that give more have a greater priority in the kingdom of God, or those that give less have less priority in the kingdom of God. Oh, no, no, no. God teaches us that our giving is proportional to what we have received. And so that's an important aspect. And then number four, I told you this sermon was going to be terse, but hopefully deep in content. Giving, the Bible teaches us, is to be a pleasure. Giving is to be a pleasure. God's word says each man should give what he has decided. See, there's that consecrated sum that's been set aside in keeping with our income. Okay, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly. I'm not going to get Clint, who's 6'11", and a little bit intimidating with the massive man beard that he's wearing, to come over to you and pick you up by your ankles and shake every dime that's in your pocket out of it. No one is going to come knocking on your door and say, Brother Edward, we see here that you gave this amount this past week, and we feel that that's simply not enough. And we're not going to pass the baskets here at church, and if we didn't get enough, that we're going to send it back around again. Okay, we're not going to do that. We do not force, we do not compel you. The only thing that should compel your giving is the mindful reality that you have received so much from Almighty God. And when you realize, my friends, what you and I have received, then giving becomes a joy. Okay? Not reluctantly or under compulsion, but this is what God loves. God loves a cheerful giver. In conclusion this morning, this is what I want to say. I want to leave you with an image this morning about giving. One of the things that I enjoy doing every summer is to go to Mindy's mom and dad's house. And we go canoeing down the river. And we fish, and we have us a nice little competition about who can catch the most and the biggest bass. And I just want to say for the record that it's always me. Okay, maybe not always, but sometimes I'm glad when it is, but that's actually a rare moment. Okay, don't tell him I said that, but here's what I want to share with you. It's interesting when you go down the river that there'll be some rapids in which the water is very narrow, and then it'll open up into a pool of water. Okay? And it's a little lower in elevation. The rivers flow down to the sea, right? And you have these rapids in which the water's fast and it's very narrow, and then it goes into a pool of water. You and I, my friends, are pools of water in the river of God. That God pours gifts into our pools, our lives. What happens, though, when that pool doesn't pass on the blessings that it has received? When it's a pool, if you love fishing, why? It creates this nice, large environment where fish can grow and get bigger, and then I can catch them, and it's so much fun. All right? It creates this rich environment. Eli and I caught a catfish this past year that was over 50 pounds. It was the most amazing experience of my fishing life to this day. We had so much fun. But that's because the river flowed. When the river flows, there's life. But when the river flow stops, it becomes what? Stagnant. And if the water stays stagnant long enough, it becomes brackish. And if it stays longer still, it becomes very salty. And when the water becomes salty, it cannot promote life, my friend. It cannot promote life. You and I are pools of water in the river of God. I pray that as God has prospered you, that you will be, as you have received, open-handed. That you'll be mindful to give the blessings of the open hand to the others. That the word of God may be proclaimed, that people's needs can be met, and the kingdom of God may grow. Amen? Let it be known that today is the shortest sermon I've ever preached in my life. Y'all have it. Hey! But let us live the blessing of this reality before Almighty God. Let's consecrate ourselves to be givers. If you would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, as we have received, let us be conduits of blessings for others, that we may glorify your name and to serve one another in love. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If we can serve any of you, we would love for you to come forward. Let us pray for you and whatever your needs may be. Make it known as we stand and as we